Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest, the children shout and sing.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Thank you for joining us here online again this week. We're so glad that you're here with us. Let's light the Christ candle, asking Jesus to shine his light on the shadows of our hearts, souls, and minds, making darkness flee, leaving only his light dancing within us. Want to take a moment and thank Adele for the beautiful decorations to help us commemorate this Palm Sunday. Please join me in the call to worship. Behold, your King comes to you. He is just. He brings salvation. He brings peace. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Please pray with me. Holy Lord, King of Kings, we come to prepare for the holiest of weeks. We will journey through praise with joy on our lips. We will travel through betrayal and death, cradling hope deep in our hearts. Jesus, lead us through this week, and we will follow, for you are the life we long for. You are the Word who sustains us. We wave palm branches in anticipation. We lay our love before you to cushion your walk. Setting aside all power, glory, and might, you come, modeling humility and obedience for all of us. Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is the one who brings us the kingdom of God. Amen.
Good morning. Please join me in saying together our prayer of confession. Patient God, we confess that we love a parade. We are very happy to see banners waving and hear people shouting their praises. Our hearts thrill to the spectacle. But sometimes we fail to see the sadness on the face of our Savior. He comes to us as King, and we expect that royal treatment will follow. We do not and cannot believe that in a few days we will be among those who will turn our backs and run in fear. How fickle we are, O Lord! Yet you continually forgive us and call us to turn our lives around, to see the needs of others, to reach out in trust and faith, to be willing to witness to your good news of saving love. Heal our hearts and give us courage for the days ahead. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, here's the good news. God's steadfast love endures forever, and in Christ our forgiveness is assured. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is the one who brings the kingdom of God and ushers us into it. Friends, this is the good news for us all in Christ. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen.
Today's reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, reading from verse 1 through 111. And I'm reading from the New International Version. Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. As they approached Jerusalem to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Here ends today's gospel. Thanks be to God.
A few weeks ago, our women's Bible study group were studying Luke's account of the events of this day, that first Palm Sunday. And as we did that, we approached the text the way we do every week. We read the passage, and then we talked about what jumps out at us. That day, we spent a fair amount of time talking about the colt Jesus rode into Jerusalem on, trying to see if there was some significance to that colt, and if so, what it might be. I suspect if we had been reading Mark's version of this story, we probably would have ended up in a similar discussion, because Mark includes so many details about how Jesus got that colt. This portion takes up over half of the entire passage, which is strange for Mark. He's not usually that long on details. So we're left wondering why he wanted us to make sure we knew all of that. Well, another thing that jumps out at us from this passage are those very familiar words that people were calling out to Jesus from the sides of the road as he went along. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming of our kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. We know these words, don't we? Or at least a very similar version of them. We say them together every time we celebrate communion. They are beloved words of liturgy for us. But they weren't liturgy on this day. They were the words being shouted by the crowds. And so as we study this, we wonder why. Why were they calling out that to him? Well, remember, this whole reading is Mark's description of how Jesus made his entry into Jerusalem for that final time before his crucifixion. And while all four of the gospel writers describe this, they each do it slightly differently. But they all also depict it as being an entry that was somewhat out of character for Jesus. The way he traveled those final few miles between Bethany and Jerusalem was strangely out of sync with what had become his usual way of being. And until this point, we've watched Jesus travel rather humbly on foot, walking from place to place with his disciples and relying on the hospitality and good graces of friends and people who lived in those communities as he stayed there. While people would get excited and gather, especially when he was performing miracles, you never have the sense that Jesus was trying to create an image for himself or any sense of acclaim. He never seemed to be seeking fame. In fact, many times he would tell the people who had benefited from his miracles that they mustn't tell anyone about them. He seemed to want the more spectacular aspects of his ministry to stay out of the public eye. Well, once he reached Bethany, all that seems to suddenly change. And for those final few miles, he moves into the limelight as many people gathered along the road and called out to him, threw down their cloaks before him, and waved branches in greeting of welcome and homage. We might wonder if Jesus' very public arrival in Jerusalem may have been intentional. Well, a little context helps to clarify things and shows us why Jesus' triumphal entry caught the attention of the Roman and Jewish authorities and became yet another thing that made them more and more determined to get rid of him. Last week, Foster showed us the importance of understanding our passages within their broader contexts, and certainly this Palm Sunday story is one that deepens remarkably as you do that. It turns out that we were on the right track to notice those details about the colt and about what the crowds were shouting, because both of those things hold remarkable significance. And in order to understand what that is, we need to look back to three different parts of the Old Testament, some rather well-known parts. The first is from the prophet Zechariah, because that colt was much more than just a symbol of Jesus' humility. Zechariah, 500 years before Jesus had lived, had foretold that Israel's long-awaited king would ride into Jerusalem on a colt. He wrote, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem, see your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on the colt, the foal of a donkey." When Jesus told his disciples to go and retrieve that colt, he was making a bold statement. He was living out the prophecy of Zechariah. And Mark describes all those details about the colt because he doesn't want us to miss this. The colt was a sign that Jesus was that prophesied king. And the people knew it. Well, that helps us then to understand the second detail and why the people actually shouted what they did. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Those words would have been well known to the people in the crowds. They come from what we now call Psalm 118, a psalm that was actually a hymn the Jewish people sang at Passover. It describes their praise of God for his deliverance of them in that first Passover, and also proclaims their faith that God was going to send another king to deliver them from their enemies once again. This was for the Jewish people a hymn of hope. And the fact that people were shouting it out at Jesus as he entered Jerusalem tells us much. They were daring to hope that he might really be that king. Since the days of the prophet Samuel, centuries before, God had promised a king was going to come, a king from the line of King David. That king would rise up and set Israel free and establish his kingdom forever. And so those people's cries, "Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David," tell us that they thought Jesus might be that king. See, as we look at this passage through those Old Testament lenses, we can see that this confluence of details has profound significance. It was far from an accident or just a coincidence. For those people gathered along that road, all of this meant that the time had come. Their shouts of acclaim tell us that they were caught up in the wonderful possibility that it had finally happened. Jesus was their king. Which itself actually leads us to wonder one more thing about this reading. It wasn't obvious to begin with, but knowing what we know now, it does seem to jump out again. Remember that whole hoopla on the road between Bethany and Jerusalem, the shouts, the cloaks being thrown down, the acclamation, the crowds, the whole thing. But then what happened? In the shift between the end of verse 10 and the beginning of verse 11, we go from Jesus being surrounded by this adoring crowd to him being either completely on his own or at most with his 12 disciples. The whole story ends with him rather unremarkably entering the temple courts, looking around, and then heading back to Bethany for the night with his friends. There's no mention of his visit to the temple being noteworthy. In fact, it really is a stark contrast to what happened earlier on in the day. What happened to the crowds? Why wouldn't they have ushered Jesus right into the heart of the city, up the steps of the temple, maybe even carried him in on their shoulders? He was to take his place as their king. That would have made sense. Why didn't it happen? Well, we don't know the answer to that. And as my friend Foster wisely taught me once a long time ago, we can't read into what's not said. Maybe Jesus faced some opposition when he entered the city, or maybe something happened that dashed their hopes. Maybe their enthusiasm just wore thin and they went home. Whatever happened, and we won't know this side of eternity, it is worth noting that their adoration and hope that they had been so stirred by earlier in the day seems to be markedly absent as Jesus comes to the temple. Dramatic as all of that excitement must have been in the moment, it was rather short-lived. That Palm Sunday love that they had been showering on him as he made his way from Bethany was just that. Palm Sunday love. It would appear that for most people, it didn't even last until Holy Monday, let alone make it all the way to the cross that loomed on Friday. For all but Jesus' closest friends, it seems to have been a rather superficial kind of love. Maybe a love that was based more on what he could do for them than anything else. It certainly doesn't seem to have been real and deep. Not the kind of love that would endure all that was to come in those next days. And I must confess to you that that realization actually quite challenges me. Maybe it does you too. I find myself wondering if my love for Jesus is superficial. Is it really just rooted in what I hope he will do for me? If I had been there, would I have stuck with him, even when things started to play out differently than I expected or hoped? Would I have stuck with him when the opposition increased and it became not just unpopular to be associated with Jesus, but actually dangerous? Would my love for him have been strong enough to keep me at the foot of the cross as he died? I want to say yes, I really do. But can I? Can you? Is our love for Jesus just a Palm Sunday kind of love? Or is it something more? Well, whatever the answer is for you, whatever my answer is, one thing is clear and true and actually matters even more than our answers. And it's this. Whatever our love for Jesus is like, his love for us bears no resemblance to that Palm Sunday love. Jesus' love for us never wanes. It was about to persevere through the worst that the human authorities, through the worst that the powers of sin and death could throw at him. Although our love might waver, Jesus' love wouldn't, even in the face of that humiliating, cruel death he was about to endure for us. Jesus' love was not Palm Sunday love. It was Good Friday love. And thank heaven it was, because only Good Friday love could not just endure death, but actually be strong enough to overcome it. Amen.
Okay. Good morning, friends. Praise the Lord. I'd like to share the small Psalm 133, the Unity Psalm, this morning. How good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Just soak in that blessing for a moment. During this Lent season, we are now preparing for Passover and Easter, when the people were protected by the blood of the Lamb on the doorposts, when the Lord passed over those homes and lives were saved, and as we bring to memory the crucifixion, when our dear Lord Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again. May our hearts reflect on these most important times as we honor you and give thanks for all you have done for us, merciful God. We bring our families to you as we are going through a rise in COVID numbers again here on Vancouver Island. We pray your protection, Lord, over each and every person watching their families and our neighbors. O merciful God, your mercies are new every morning. We pray the vaccines that have been coming to us will be protecting us. We pray for our government leaders, local, provincial, and federal, to make good decisions to protect us and care for us in our communities, putting aside their personal agendas and making healthy decisions. Lord, we pray your guidance over their hearts and souls, giving them wisdom and compassion. Lord, we especially bring our loved ones to you as there are daily changes taking place, becoming weaker and unable to make good decisions. Bring good caregivers from our medical community and friends to help care for them. Help the caregivers with difficult decisions to be made. Give them peace and direction, O Lord. We are lifting up families dealing with difficulties in marriages, family relationships. Lord, Lord, restore these rifts. Bring forgiveness to them all. Bring peace and comfort for those that have lost loved ones. And now we bring you the Shalom blessing, peace, tranquility, safety, well-being, welfare, health, contentment, success, comfort, wholeness, and integrity. And finally we pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Your ongoing faithfulness in providing for the work and ministry of St. Stephen's is greatly appreciated. Let's pray the offertory prayer together, dedicating these gifts to God's purposes. As we celebrate Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, we dedicate these gifts, O God, to your eventual triumph over the hearts of your people. In his name we pray. Amen.
Well, I think obviously the main purpose is to feed people. But in that, I think one of our most important purposes is the sense of community that we've developed with these people. You know, they come for a meal. They are, everybody is welcome, sort of non-judgmental. They come because they live alone and they need companionship. They've got friends here. It's a regular outing. They get hugs and highs with their names, and everybody leaves with a smile. So I think that the sense of community that we've developed through feeding the people is really what we want to encourage, and that's sort of our purpose.
Well, we have the best volunteers. I mean, they people in our group just are happy to come out, do whatever is needed, have lunches, sweep floors, clean cupboards. Always a sense, a joyous feeling around. Normally what happens is we have four cooks that prepare a hot meal for those people that come to the church here. And we make up 100 lunches with takeout sandwiches, juice boxes, cookies, which go out about 30 are passed out here at the church, and the rest go out with our outreach nurses and our crew to different homeless camps in the community.
Wow.
So it is an amazing opportunity. We're very thankful, all of us, I think, to be part of this ministry. And I think St. Stephen's is very good about taking God out to the community, showing the outreach. That's one of the reasons that I've been drawn to St. Stephen's. You know, we don't just wait here for people to come, we go out and show God's love that way. We do miss, we really miss that, the fellowship of having people inside, but we still want to be about the ministry of
feeding people. So now our guests come and line up outside. We have our security and our guys outside that help space people and make sure everything's safe. And then we have set up a takeout station at one of the doors, and we just pass lunches, coffee through that way.
I can think of a couple of people, and I won't say names, but
no,
I know you're
no
going to know who I'm talking about. We have one fellow who was, he was in a car accident, he's brain injured, and he lives alone. And this guy, he loves coming here because he can talk to people. And he's obviously got a very, very active mind. He writes little notes down in his book, things he wants to talk about. And I can just see him loving coming here because he can talk to people and share ideas, and he just talks up a story, but he loves it, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the other one I remember is our fellow that used to sit at the back table came without shoes one day, and he was just, every single one of us took him into our hearts. Like, he was just a really, really special guy. And throughout the time he was here, he hooked up with Coco, you know, through the Orca place, and he found housing. He found a whole lot of supports through coming here. So we were really proud of that, you know, that we accomplished that with him. That's what I remember.
That's right. Oh, just little things that I see is when people regularly come and ask for an extra meal for their neighbor. You know, they say, oh, she's waiting for it. She just can't wait for me to get home on Thursday with the hot soup. And just to look around and see little groups of people sitting outside and building relationships, that's really heartening. And
Jesus, our Lord, our Saviour and friend, we give you all glory and thanks for the ministry of community meals. You seek workers for your kingdom, and here they are. Holy One, we give you thanks and praise for calling these beautiful, caring hearts into your service, that there are always enough funds and food, that there are always enough people to help, that what your servants do make a difference to the lives of our guests. Thank you for loving and trusting us with your vulnerable children, whom you love so very much and who so often bless us in surprising ways. All this to glorify your precious name, Jesus. Amen.
A few announcements for this week. The first is a reminder that we will be having a spring garden cleanup here at the church on Saturday, April 10th from 2 to 5 p.m. in the afternoon. If you have some time and some energy, we would very much appreciate it if you would come and share it with us on that afternoon. It would be lovely to see you, and many hands will make light work. We are sprucing the place up for spring and trusting that new life is in our future. Second is a reminder of our Easter weekend treasure hunt. This is a congregation-wide activity that we hope you and your friends and family members might engage in sometime on Easter weekend when is convenient for you. The details for that treasure hunt are in your emailed announcements, or if you have any questions, you're welcome to call the church office and Adele will happily help you. We hope you will take part and have a lot of fun doing it. Also, a reminder that we are about to enter Holy Week, and we will have services on each day except for Saturday. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, there will be brief reflective services on each of those days. And then Monday, Thursday, we will have a service to remember Jesus' gathering with his friends on that final night. And of course, the Good Friday service where we gather at the cross. And then the celebration of the Lord's resurrection on Sunday. So we hope you will take part in those services. They are all online in the same kind of format as you have grown accustomed to this year, so you can access them through the church website in the usual way. We've been asking people to share good news or hellos, and we have one of each actually this week. The first is a hello from Debbie Holt. Many of you will remember Debbie. She's worshipped with us for a number of years, and in the last little while, she's been living in Alberta with her parents, taking care of them as they age and helping out with them, and I'm sure them helping out with her as well. And so we want to say hello to them, and we're delighted to know that you guys are worshipping with us every weekend. It's great to have you with us, and we hope that you stay well and spring comes to Alberta. St. Stephen's Debbie asked me to pass along her best wishes and her greetings to you all. And the good news actually comes from our house. Many of you have been asking if spring has sprung at our farm. You know that we raise sheep, and of course, this time of year is lambing season. So yes, we do have lambs at the farm. These are the first two who were born 2 weeks ago. Simon and I got to go out into the barn to do our morning chores, and there they were, both each tucked in cozily with their mums, doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. So we have been blessed, actually, now with four healthy lambs for this season, and we're delighted. Spring has sprung at our house. As we prepare to wind down our worship for today and enter the rest of Holy Week, I invite you to join me in ascending litany. This is a vision of the way it can be, the way it should be. Shouts of welcome, a joyful procession, a community celebrating together. The same vision is offered to us today. We can welcome Christ into our lives. We can celebrate his transforming power. How swiftly things changed back then. How swiftly we too can be distracted. May we hold fast to his vision of goodness, peace that comes as we practice justice, equality that comes as we practice respect. As this week unfolds, we will let ourselves be overtaken by God's love. We will pour it back out into the world. Friends, may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God look upon you with kindness and grant you peace. Amen.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. And age to age he stands, and time is in his hand. Oh. and worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God. 'Cause he's the name above all names, and worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great, how great. Our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great, how great is our God. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God.